Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who makes all things new again, dear fellow redeemed. We've said it before, the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation for believers of all ages to comfort them as they face trials, tribulations, and temptation. John himself was even exiled on the island of Patmos for his faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. People of John's day were facing all kinds of persecution. They could easily become discouraged, self-pitying, distressed, despairing, and it could have appeared to them that as if Satan were winning the battle. But these words of the Spirit that John penned clearly show that the battle is the Lord's. The victory is his. What comfort that was, and what comfort it still is. When we look around the world today, what do we see? We see terrorist activities not only overseas, but here in our own country. We see an economy that is slowly recovering from the past recession and maybe never be as robust as it once was. And maybe the days, the great prosperous days of our country is behind us. We see a world full of unrest and turmoil and rebellion and murder everywhere. We see drug abuse and sexual promiscuity. We see greed, waste, corruption, hopelessness, despair, high unemployment. When we look to ourselves, what do we see? We see sinful desires, evil thoughts, selfish ambitions, wicked actions. The world hates Christ and us Christians, tries to tempt us to go along with their wicked behavior, and we don't. Makes fun of us, ridicules us. We see death and sorrow and tears everywhere. We too could come to the conclusion that maybe Satan is winning in this battle for the souls of the world. In the book of Revelation, the Spirit peels back the veil of all that's happening, and we look behind the curtain of the scenes of this world, and what do we see? We see that the Lamb on the throne is in control of all the events of mankind for the blessing and welfare, eternal welfare, of his believers. We mentioned before that the book of Revelation consists of seven visions. The first 19 chapters of Revelation have those first six visions. And those first six visions are a snapshot, a picture of the same kind of history from the time of Christ's first coming to the time he comes again, the battle between Satan and Christ and the unbelieving world and the believers of this time, And Satan's attempt to destroy Christ and his church of believers, but it's unsuccessful. We get to chapter 20, and now the curtain comes down. It's a time for judgment. History's coming to an end. And that great dragon, Satan, is cast into the lake of fire. A picture of judgment and hell. And all are gathered before the great white throne upon which the Lamb is seated. And all those who followed Satan, all those who didn't believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, are cast into eternal torment. While those whose names were written in the book of life, who believe in Jesus Christ, who believe the Lamb was slain and was risen again, enter into everlasting bliss and glory. And then we come to chapter 21, where our text is found. And there we have this glimpse of heaven. We've already had a couple glimpses in the last two sermon texts, but here we have a little bit more complete picture of this heavenly glory which we shall enjoy forever. Our theme this morning is entitled, Our God Makes All Things New. And the first new thing we'll see is this, our new home, created by Him. We read in verse 1, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Throughout this closing scene, there are literal and figurative descriptions of eternal paradise that are side by side. It's not always easy to tell whether John is providing a figurative painting or a literal snapshot of what heaven's like. But in this first verse, we see very clearly, this is a literal picture. Because again, Scripture interprets Scripture. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. We read in 2 Peter 3, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to this promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Already in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, we were told this. Isaiah 65:17 said, For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. And Jesus said in Luke 21, Heaven and earth will pass away. This heaven and earth. So, will this new heaven and earth be completely brand spanking new? Well, it appears as if God's going to renew what He created at one time. For the Greek word for new in our verse here means new in quality, new in freshness. In other words, being renewed. Paul speaks of this in Romans, and he writes, The creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. God will take what is destroyed, burnt up, charred remains of this heaven and earth on Judgment Day when it's all destroyed and burnt up, and He'll recreate a new heaven and a new earth in the same perfection that it had at the beginning of time when Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden. This new place that the Lord will recreate for us at the end of time is a place of beauty and peace, a place of perfection and glory, the likes of which we have never seen on this beautiful land of ours. So the first thing new, our new home, created by Him. Next new thing that John sees is our new condition, prepared for Him. It's the new Jerusalem. We read in verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. From Scripture we see that this is not to be taken literally. On Judgment Day, there's not going to be a great huge city all of a sudden coming down from the sky and landing on the new heaven and new earth. The new Jerusalem And the bride is the same thing. It's a picture of the Holy Christian Church. All believers in Christ. All the believers who've been met the Lord in the air will come down from the Lord, with the Lord, and come down to live in this new heaven and this new earth that the Lord recreates. While reading the Old Testament, Jerusalem was a place where God dwelt with his people. The Apostle Paul talks about Jerusalem, earthly Jerusalem, and the heavenly Jerusalem. John says, this new Jerusalem was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The bride of Christ, of course, is all believers in Christ. He's the bridegroom with the bride, and he prepares us. I don't know how a bride prepares, but you do. You know how you prepare for your wedding. You do all kinds of things to get ready for your wedding. And then the groom is there to welcome you, to take you in his arms, and to care for you and tend for you as long as you both shall live. Well, the Lord is preparing us as a bride, getting us dressed up in white robes of righteousness, making us, washing us clean, so we have no blemish, no spot, no wrinkle. Perfect bride. The virgin bride coming before the Lord to be his bride through the eternal marriage feast in heaven. He's preparing us for that wedding feast. So, our new home created by him, our new condition prepared for him. The bride prepared, the groom is now coming. The next thing we see is our new relationship, living with him. We read verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. We had the same word last week, the word dwell. And that means that God pitched his tent with his people. In the Old Testament, that's where God's presence was. In the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, and then in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. But the only access to God was through a mediator, to the priest, and the high priest especially. Well, Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world and became human flesh like us, and he tented with us. He lived among us. And by his living among us, there was now open access to the Heavenly Father. And there still is that open access to the Heavenly Father, but now Jesus is no longer with us in the same way he was when he walked in this earth. We don't see him face to face. Well, all will be changed on Judgment Day, and we're taken to be with him, and we'll be living with our bridegroom. Not a long-distance relationship, but a face-to-face relationship. All the suffering and sorrow and separation that caused by the fall of sin will be removed and gone. We'll be an endless one together. So David's words in Psalm 23 will be fulfilled. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No longer will sin or sorrow or death separate us between God. What a blessed eternity. Our new relationship, living forever with him, the Lamb, our bridegroom. Next we see our new life, happiness through him. In verse 4, John tells us what won't be, what we won't see in heaven. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. What a special promise. What a special place. It's almost impossible to imagine these things. No more tears. Look at the world around us. It's filled with tears. Every day, people cry because of sadness. No more death. Every day, hundreds of thousands of people die around this world. Every single one of us here this morning have been touched by death, by some loved one that we have said goodbye to because of death. No more sorrow. All the bad news will be gone. All the heartaches will be removed. No more pain. All the emotional and physical pain that people suffer day in and day out, depression, despair, arthritis, cancer, diseases, headaches, all gone. There'll be no more. Forever. Our Savior says to us, "Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you'll be sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." All the bad things that are ever present, daily reality to us, because of sin in this world, will all be a thing of the past. How can we even picture such a wonderful, wonderful thing? Our new life, perfect happiness through Him. And finally, we see our new confidence, trusting in Him and His promises. There's a lot of doubters out there. Many, probably most, would look upon these words that I've just read to you and they'd say, "That's not going to happen. Pie in the sky hopes, fairy tales, legends, well, Sunday school stories for children." But Jesus says to us in verse 5, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said to John, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." No more trustworthy words could we have heard than what our Savior says to us. He's in charge. He's in control. Everything that has happened to us in this world to cause us sadness, grief, sorrow, that makes life hard, miserable, will be gone. Because He's making all things new again. Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth is given to me." The promise our Savior gave to us is, "I am going to prepare a place for you." And He's now fulfilling that promise. He's gotten everything in this world, everything in the history of mankind, to work out exactly as John revealed it to us in this book of Revelation. It'll come to pass just as John prophesied it would, through this power of the Spirit. Jesus is in control. It is His story. That's our new confidence. Trusting in Him and His promise. This vision of John continues throughout chapter 21. We're going to have two more sermons on that, which is really a brief glimpse of what heaven, that eternal home of ours, will be like for us forever and ever. These words can't possibly match the glory, the grandeur that we'll enjoy forever. Our concern, therefore, should be that while we have the few years left on this old earth and this old heaven, we need to be preparing ourselves and others to live forever in that new earth and that new heaven with our Bridegroom forevermore. And we do that through faithful use of God's Word in our own home devotions, privately, with our family, reading the Word of God, with our Bible study, hearing the Word consistently and continually in church, Sunday school, for the strengthening of our faith. May that be our new commitment, our one goal, as each day we take one step closer and closer to that final day when our God makes all things new again. A new home created by Him. A new condition prepared for Him as His bride. Our new relationship, living with Him, our bridegroom forever. Our new life, perfect happiness through Him. And our new confidence, trusting in His promises. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.